What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
What it is, people, it's your boy Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. I am your host, Doggy Diamonds. Alongside of me is
Eternal underscore Moja,
the real King Ether.
We are the good bad guys on Doggy Diamonds No Filter. So, where do we start? Okay, the BET Awards. Y'all saw the BET Awards?
Nah, but I saw the Cyphers.
You saw the BET Awards?
Nah, I saw the Cyphers too. I saw some of the performances as well, but I definitely saw the Cyphers.
I didn't watch the BET Awards. You know what's funny? I never watched the BET Awards. I am a little upset that I did miss the Little Kim part, so I did want to see that because that's the hood. But other than that,
I actually saw her performance.
I don't watch the BET Awards.
Well, I just saw the clips. Her performance was interesting.
What was interesting about it?
It seems to me she don't really have stamina. Like, her performance was just like, it seemed like she was out of breath within the first like minute.
Damn.
Yeah. It was maybe like 6-7 minutes. You know, she performed with Junior Mafia. Mm-hmm. So Lil C's performed as well as some of just the other guys, just, you know, playing the background or whatever. But yeah, she seemed to be out of breath.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like she's one of the performances that I watch, like one of the legends that I watch, that it's a little depressing to watch. Like, it's a little discouraging.
Do you understand what you're saying right now? Do you not understand what they will do to you on the internet?
Yeah, that's
her,
cool.
Her beehive is different.
Nah, fuck the hive.
Yeah.
Fuck the hive. Like, I love Lil Kim. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have an older
sister.
We did
a documentary on Lil Kim.
Yeah, we actually did. I was in it.
Yeah, so. It ain't nothing against that.
Not nothing personal against Lil Kim. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like, you know, you can tell she's obviously not, I can't say what she is or what she's not doing, but I don't feel like she's physically in shape. You know what I'm saying?
To perform. Well,
you know,
yeah, you have to have a certain amount of stamina to be on that stage.
That's
jumping.
I would say, as far as with that,
she probably could get it back.
Nah, but it was dope.
Yeah,
it was solid.
I think for the nostalgia of Little Kim and C's together, you know.
And he also gave her award as well.
Yeah. So well deserved award.
Yeah, that was dope.
Well deserved award.
Yeah, that was dope.
But I still didn't watch it. I saw the clips, like, y'all. You know what it is? I can't bring myself to say, ooh, the BET Awards is coming on, let me go in the house and watch it, or let me DVR. I don't care.
I used to.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Think I've cared in probably like, I think the last time I cared about the BET Awards, Jay-Z performed H to the Izzo and brought Snoop on stage. You know why? Because one year I saw it, I was in a laundromat, and I seen, I seen dudes with blouses on and tight pants. That's what, like, when the Migos first hit. I was like, yo, what is everybody wearing? Like, I was like, well, if this is what this is going to be, I'm going to be out. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I can say, watching it? A lot of the performers are not really performers. Like, to me, the game has changed as far as
lip syncers.
Yeah, but just like they're in one spot, like the dance moves is very like, I don't know, it's not what, even like the stage, you know, that they set up. Like, I remember back in the day, like when like Diddy was doing awards, you know, and even Kanye sometimes, like, the stage that they had was
production.
Set. Yeah, like, I'm watching them like, this is, I don't know.
Let's put some respect on the Source. The Source Awards is the best awards show ever. The Source Awards, you name them, the Source Awards was always, like, the best award shows. You know, that Death Row set, the Source Awards is iconic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Iconic. The Mobb Deep and Little Kim coming out doing Quiet. So, I mean, it was just so many of them that was dope. But I'm not letting you off the hook. You diss Lil Kim.
Nah, they're going to get you. Nah, it wasn't a diss. I think we all could realize, like, you know, like some of our legends, they're a little, you know, they're a little winded when it comes to performance.
Winded.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I enjoyed, like you said, the nostalgic moment of the performance. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of those songs obviously bring me back to a time, even though I was very, very young. Mm-hmm. I still remember a lot of those songs, but her performance, it wasn't. You know, it's
what are we looking for in a performance in 2019 going into 2020? What are we looking for now? Because when I look at like Jay-Z early performances, horrible. Snoop, horrible. I think the song carried the performances.
Yeah.
Are we looking for them to do like the kid and play kick step and just break dance? Like, what is it about the performance?
I don't know. Just more energy. I'm not saying you got to be Chris Brown or Beyonce. But like,
Usher, right?
Yeah, but like just the energy. Like the sweetie chick, whatever her name is, she got the My Type record, which is the Pedo Pop.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
It's a remake of like
it's sampled from Petey Pablo.
From Petey Pablo, yeah. And like she performed.
Okay,
like I thought she was all right. I don't know. It's just I just want to see more than just the dancer just do their thing while the person raps or the person sometimes is like letting the crowd just spit, like. She had moments where she was just chilling in the crowd, which is dope. Like I said, it's dope to watch her perform. Like, that was dope. But I could just tell, like, damn, she's out of breath in the first minute. Yeah. Like, shit, it got to her. But that was it.
Do you think, this is going to get y'all really in trouble. Do y'all think some of these artists' best days are behind them?
You talking about, like, people who we consider
like
legends?
Like Lil' Kim, yeah.
Her best days?
Yes.
She a legend, so nah. Like, she done did so much work, she never got to do anything ever again.
But you can't be going up on stage not
That's
having...
a trick question, though.
No, it's not a trick question. Reason why I'm asking that, because it's going to segue into... Because
best days sound like prime to me, and clearly Lil' Kim is out of her prime.
Yeah.
What was her prime, though?
What was her prime?
Hardcore was her prime to me.
Okay.
Like, that her coming out with that iconic type of image, the type of music she was coming out with, her being a woman... You know, being in the forefront at that time, like, that was her. That was Lil' Kim's prime to me, especially as a child, me watching that or having, you know, vivid memories. Like, I remember what that impact was like, you know, for people in older age groups than I was in. You know what I'm saying? So that was her prime to me. So if we're saying, like, you know, her time is behind her, yeah. If we're talking in relation to her prime, yeah, you know.
All right. Reason why I'm asking you that, because it's like, all right, we look at Lil' Kim and y'all say she's winded in the first minute, right? She's winded. But then we have these other females that I'm not going to lie to you. If I sit here and try to name their songs, I would be just straight up deceiving the people. I don't know their songs, but I just know them because of the social media presence. Mm-hmm. So I know the name of Meg Thee Stallion, the Cash Dolls.
I like Cash Dolls.
Yeah. Will they ever have a prime?
Absolutely, I think so. I think so. I definitely think music is going in the direction in favor of women, or the audience for music now, it's more catered to a lot of children. So I think a lot of
Let me rephrase this question. The prime that you saying Lil' Kim had, iconic impact. Will Cash Doll and Meg Thee Stallion, and it's another
this
one
is
we're
a different
missing.
Time. No.
Will they ever have that prime?
No.
It's a different prime. I feel like prime is different.
But
now.
You said yes though, if at first.
Yeah, but I meant like in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is a pioneer of what she's done. You know what I'm saying?
Of what they're doing.
Yeah, what they're doing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
are we missing somebody? We say Cash Doll, Meg, is somebody
Cardi.
Else?
Ooh.
Cardi.
Ooh. Cardi is definitely in that vein. Even Nicki is in that vein. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like those artists, they can never have a prime like the pioneer. You can't ever reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? But I think in the climate of how social media is, they'll have their own wave or whatever you may call it. Like the Hot Girl Summer thing, I think that's a big iconic thing.
Oh, City you know Girls, you probably
City Girls, girls you know? Mention,
yeah, there's a lot of them, but I think that...
Chinese Kitty is another one.
Yeah.
So she's.
I think that with this wave, it's kind of tough to call it because Lil' Kim did so many things. In her time span. And for me, it's like they'll have their moment,
but they'll never
and
be
no
another
disrespect,
Lil' Kim.
But 20 years from now, I don't see any of them living up to that Lil' Kim impact. You know who might be the closest, and
who
people
that?
Might not agree with it? Probably Nicki.
Well, Nicki is.
I feel like Nicki has done so many things.
I think. Well,
people
well,
just
we,
sleeping on.
If we gonna put some respect on Nicki's name, I think Nicki was next.
Definitely.
And she was the closest to Lil' Kim that we're ever going to see. Even though she'll probably say, I didn't do it intentionally and all that. You come on, man. Stop. Yeah, yeah. Keep it a buck.
I definitely influenced.
It was, you know, Jordan and Kobe to me, honestly.
I'm fine with that.
Different eras.
But I, you know, it's funny because I always been wanting to speak on this, the hate that Nicki Minaj started getting. I really think it was unwarranted, but I think it was her attitude that made people start disliking her. I think she got real diva too soon. She accomplished what she accomplished. But I know she wasn't nice to some people. I remember, tell y'all Nicki Minaj's story. I've interviewed her a few times. She gave me her, wasn't two-way, what was it before that? BlackBerry.
Okay.
She gave me her BlackBerry information. You know, we you know, I'm doing a come up DVD. She's signed to Fendi. So I hit her up, like, yo, how are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Is everything all good? How I do everybody? And she replied to me like, yo, if it's not business, don't hit me. And I'm like, yo, I didn't ask you what you was wearing. I didn't ask you, were we hanging out? I just said, how are you doing? I just filmed you. You gave me specific directions with this footage of what you didn't want done with it. She didn't want me to give the tape to somebody. You know, so whole nother story with that. But it's like, yo, if it ain't business, don't hit me. Like, what business would me and you have? Like, why did you give me your BlackBerry?
Yeah, that happens, man.
So it was like, when that arrogance hit, I was like, nah, she's not going to be a likable person.
And I've heard that amongst other people within the industry. Same, like, stories with her as far as just her attitude.
Yeah, she pulled the diva too soon.
Yeah, I've heard. I've never met her, so I can't speak on that. But yeah, but as far as what we were saying, I feel like she's definitely, people have to put a lot more respect on her name. I think we're forgetting very, like, too soon. Like,
I'm gonna tell you why, though.
Nicki done put
I'm
in,
going to tell
and
you.
It's a lot.
I'm going to tell you why. What happened to Nicki? It was unwarranted. See, I don't take it personal. How she responded to me. You know what I'm saying? It's not the end of the world, but I knew other people was not as, I'm not sensitive about things. You know, it depends. Sometimes I get a little tight, but that particular incident didn't bother me because we went on to do other stuff after that. But when Cardi came, Cardi was like, I love y'all. I love everybody. I am the typical girl from the projects. I'm the typical girl in the hood. I'm this, that, and the third. Nicki was like, yo, I'm not of that. I am an icon. I'm a diva. Cardi learned to become a diva, but she came in the game talking about giving dudes dome, talk about that typical stuff that chicks was like, yo, you heard what she just said?
Yeah.
You know, so she became, I remember women saying, I respect her hustle. I respect her. And I was like, what? You respect what just came out of her mouth? So she captured the heart of women that I didn't think would be jacking that type of thing. Whereas you had Nicki the diva, who kind of was like, you know, when she first came out.
She was above the people.
Yeah, she
point.
Used to be like, yeah. You begging bum bitches. She used to say stuff yeah. like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Cardi was, I love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with women, yo, there was no female Mary J. Blige.
No.
Cardi came in and was like, yo, I love y'all. I know what y'all going through. I've been through this. They didn't do this because they could have turned bitter. I like always go like that. Cardi always talk about how people didn't rock with her, how they treat her to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever says she's bitter, though. Why? Because she's looked at as successful. So bitter is synonymous with broke, right?
Yeah.
But even Jay-Z, he's made albums talking about how they didn't want to sign me. You know, I had to, but yeah. Nobody ever calls him bitter though, because he's a billionaire. So when you speak your truths about what you've been through in the industry, what you got going on, people say, oh, you're bitter. I never said I was broke or unhappy. I'm just telling you some of the things that I went through. But when Cardi do it, it's fine. When Jay-Z do it, it's fine. But I don't want to get off track with mm-hmm. me talking about Cardi. So I think when Cardi came, it was somebody else to mess with outside of Nicki. And I think Nicki was like, yo, y'all like that?
I also think Nicki, her being a pure artist and us not confirming or knowing of anybody writing her lyrics, I think she probably took some offense to it. Like, yo, Cardi don't even write her shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way she came in, like, it was off of other people's merit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably was like, nah, like, I'm a real artist. Like, I've been penning this down for a decade, you know what I mean? Like, a decade or whatever the case might be. So I think that was some of her probably gripes in the beginning. like, look at me, you know? And that's why she was started to post like her accolades and stuff like that. It got to her.
I think she started, I think even after a while, she started even like taking her clothes off. She Nikki? She didn't come in the game like that.
No.
She didn't come in the game
but
like that.
But she was, she did have a certain type of energy.
She was risque with it.
But I also think that her being in a secret relationship with Safaree.
But it wasn't no secret for all those right. who knew, though.
Well,
Safaree,
from the industry, from the
Safaree,
outside world.
Listen, we knew Safaree what it was never not there.
No, of course.
He was always there.
Well, I'm saying, like, publicly, like, she she was always talking about Wayne and Birdman and niggas popping it off. Dudes popping it off. So.
I don't, you know what? let's talk about this. Safaree is, I think he got Erica Minna. She's pregnant right
now. Yes, congratulations.
He's getting married.
Yeah,
congratulations. He's living his life.
Yeah.
But he took a lot on the chin with that, bro. I don't know if the bag would have been worth me sitting around chick talking about I'm Monica Lewinsky and he's the president. Because that means you gave him top, right?
I went back and forth with a lot of people.
It's just rap to me.
But you'll let your girl do that, though? You let your girl talk about stuff like that?
Yo, if the bag is right.
Then you're going to come in the bed and sleep with me? Nah. And then like, also Safaree had gave examples once or twice where, like, dudes gave him that energy like he wasn't even there. Like, people.
That's
like,
what they feeding off her, though.
Yeah, they used to treat him like he not even. So it's like, nah, bro, I can't never accept that.
But I think a lot of that stemmed from because Safaree doesn't seem like a confrontational type of dude.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the reason why, you know, they probably came with that energy with him. He wasn't a confrontational or territorial dude. And that's one thing I think people never gave Safaree the respect of respecting the boundaries and territories that came with the industry. And I'm not saying him and Nikki never got into anything behind the scenes. Obviously, we don't know, right? But for the most part, for a dude to hold it down that long, I gotta respect that.
He did it for the bag, though.
He did it for love, though. Yeah, I think
it was
so.
Both.
No, but see, all right.
But it still hurt him.
Yeah.
It had to hurt him.
Yeah, but because the reason why I'm bringing all this up, this is relative. I don't want people to be thinking, like, they're talking about old stuff. What are y'all talking about them for? Yeah. Little Kim icon, definitely. Where does Foxy fit in all of this?
I got Foxy probably right underneath.
Under Kim?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I haven't thought too much about it. But
let's put this out there. Little Kim didn't write some of her stuff.
That's a fact.
Foxy didn't write some of her stuff.
That's a fact.
Cardi didn't write some of her stuff.
That's a fact.
But Nicki allegedly wrote everything she ever cared.
Or let's just say majority.
Yeah.
But we have no proof that anybody wrote for Nicki.
Yeah.
But we have proof that other people wrote for these other artists.
Yeah.
So you say Nicki's number one?
I can't say she's number one because Lil' Kim started something. Lil' Kim is in the vein of Millie Jackson. That's a little before y'all time. Y'all know who Millie Jackson is. But Millie Jackson, Roxanne Shanté, Lil' Kim, just talking about for the I don't give a damn type.
Okay.
But Nicki, if she wrote all her raps, because I accused Safaree her of writing for Safaree writing for her before. I did because... Yo, he just they at one point it was like, yo, come on, man.
Yeah.
Somebody is copied somebody because he used to be. I remember when he first started before he went straight up, you know, straight up Labor Day parade on us and stuff. Because where he was rapping, it was at the end of the song. He was like, I mean, come on, like now. I'm like, yo, hold up, whoa, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So, do we demote somebody's status if they didn't write it, though?
To hip hop standard, we have to. But for the woman, I didn't, or I haven't yet.
That's foul.
Yeah, I haven't.
Because we stoned Drake for that.
That's a fact.
And we heard.
Were people really stoned Drake for that, though? Like, I feel like it was, I think that was more so of people just being tired of Drake being at the top at that point. I didn't feel like anybody was like, yeah, Drake doesn't write his own rhyme.
Hip hop purists definitely don't put Drake nowhere on those top nothing lists. No.
Drake is, but you know what's funny about Drake? Drake, he just makes music for a relative time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's another dude that always talk about his problems. He's almost bitter in his raps. And his pops just came out and was like, yo, he lying.
Which, I mean, I don't believe.
Think about that. He was like, yo, his father wasn't there. So why is he not called bitter? Think about it.
Success, I don't know. That just.
But
just,
this is what I'm saying. Depending on how people depict you, where you at in your life is whether they consider you to be bitter or not.
Yeah.
Drake be talking about started from the bottom, now we here. I don't know how many dudes I'm going to lose this year and all that. I'm like, because you know that that's not the same song. But it, you would think that Drake was out there really, you know, on front line.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of like you laugh at it because it's laughable, but it's relative to the hood. So when he make these songs, the hood dudes can chant along with it because it fits their life, even though it don't fit his.
Yep.
So when he like, I don't know how many dudes I'ma lose this year, we all sitting there like, yo, I lost two homies this year. But he didn't know.
Yeah.
He's, you know, a master entertainer.
Yeah.
Like, Drake is just great at what he does.
But how do we rank people if they didn't write their rhymes?
If I'm going by hip hop, I have to base it only upon the ones who wrote their rhymes first.
I got two questions pertaining to these lists. Yeah. But pull up the list. What list you got first?
T.I.'s list.
Let me get T.I.'s list. Give me 1 through 5 who he has on the list.
T.I. has Pac, Jay-Z, Biggie, Snoop, Kanye.
That's his top 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drake is actually there. It's funny that we said Drake. Drake is.
Now, this is the problem that I have with that list, right?
Pac, Biggie,
Jay-Z, Pac, Snoop, Biggie, and Kanye.
Pac, Biggie, Jay-Z, Snoop, and Kanye.
Yeah, and then Drake is 6.
This is the problem that I have with lists like that. Mm-hmm. Pac is not here. Biggie's not here.
Yeah.
They did great music. They were iconic. But some of that music, it don't stand the test of time now, though. I think for Pac, yes. I think what they did, and people going to get mad at me, I think what they did with some of Biggie vocals and his music watered it down. They started taking verses off this song and putting it on that song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, yo, come on, man.
I never really
that's not
that.
The same.
Yeah.
Just leave it. Just leave it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I heard Ashanti, the Foolish remix, and they took R. Kelly, Loving You Tonight, and put it, I was like, yo, why y'all do that? You know what I'm saying? So when we saying these guys are the top 5, right? And you say, and you got Pac and Biggie on the list. I'm going to get on to other people, but you got Pac and Biggie on the list. What did I say about the dudes that's in the crib or in the studio right now writing, cranking out hits, and they can't even make a list because two guys who died over 22 years ago still on it? I don't really think that's fair. I don't think that's fair.
They're going to kill you in the comments.
I don't care.
I think it's bigger than that. I think it's more of an impact. Mm-hmm. Of to why they base it upon that, not like the continuation of, you know, okay, you've this whatever other artists have been here the last 20, 15, whatever.
Okay,
years. So
now let me.
That's what it's based upon. I think the impact of the artists.
Let me. You got those top. You got those top five, but Nas is not on there.
Yo, that's crazy.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got Biggie. Crazy. You got Pac. I think because you got two different Tupacs. Mm-hmm. You got Death Row Tupac, yeah, and you got Tupac prior to that. The Tupac prior to Death Row, a lot of people wasn't rocking with.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah,
I knew about the Strictly For My Ends, and because people always say Brenda's got a baby, but it's way more. When my homies call his mad song, Ambitions of a Rider's mad songs, that I was a Tupac fan.
Right.
Right. A lot of people wasn't. They became a fan when Tupac became the rebel. And the person dissing people, Tupac was a different artist.
Yeah,
you know, for different reasons. Biggie was a different artist. Biggie, you could still play a set in a club. You know what I'm saying? Tupac, you can't really play no set. So that's what made them different.
Right.
But I'm saying for the hardworking artists that's still putting out music, why do we just say, "Yo, you're not even top 10"?
Because they're influenced by those artists. The nucleus of what most rappers have done and are going to continue to do come from Biggie, Pac, and all of these other great artists.
Kanye, though? Is Kanye the first of his kind?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because we got people who's in the Kanye vein, and that to me would be the J. Cole.
Yeah, the Travis Scotts.
Yeah, that's Kanye vein. Artists.
Kid Cudi,
yeah. Childish Gambino, that's all. Mm-hmm. The Kanye vein.
Kanye is definitely in the lane of his own.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As an artist and a producer, just balancing both of those things out, I think Kanye is definitely, he's up there. I don't know if he's top five.
So we got Snoop in the top five, and Snoop has not wrote some of his rhymes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't
know that. The whole Sexual Seduction album, he didn't write that. That's so,
but that's later on.
So what?
I didn't know that.
If you found out tomorrow that Jay-Z didn't write some of his songs, and it's like some of the dopest rhymes, you'd be like, oh nah, such and such wrote that. You're like, word?
Yeah, that wouldn't matter. No, that wouldn't matter.
Wow.
But Snoop, I mean, I don't know. I was always distant from people like Snoop, so I can't speak on Snoop.
Snoop is not top five.
Yeah,
I would have.
Snoop is not top five.
The interesting part about it is Juicy is my favorite song of all time. I want to make that clear.
You said that before.
Juicy is my favorite song of all time. I remember as a kid listening to it on the radio. I'm fine with that. But Pac is not second. I mean, Biggie's not second, yo. He's not. And we from Brooklyn.
Facts.
Biggie's not second to me. He's not.
He's one of the second. Lyrically, he's one of the dopest. Style, one of the dope. Everything about him was dope. But the point I'm making with Biggie is that, yo, that was 20 something years ago.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine
This is why I'm not fine with it. Because if we're holding on to somebody being one of the top five rappers 20 years ago from what he did 20 years ago, I mean, hip hop is not in a good place.
I mean, this is what we've been talking about. Let's be realistic.
That's where I'm going with. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah,
but that's what we've all been talking about.
I mean, hip hop is still fairly new, though.
No, it ain't. Hip hop is 40.
Maybe closer to 50, probably.
No, it's like 40. I think it started in 1973. I think hip hop is 47, 46 years
old. I'm fine with that. I'm still fine with that.
Nah, man.
I'm still fine with that. I'm fine.
It's new in retrospect, but to be honest with you, the lyrics from a lot of these artists, for the most part, is not going to... Like, I don't think we're going to find that many J. Cole's. Like, he's on the back end of, like, the whole...
Right.
Lyrics, like, the Kendricks and stuff like that. I think...
They're going to stone me, too, but I'm not really big on J. Cole or Kendrick, though. Never been. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I think they... No, they are dope, but they're not superstars to me. They're good. J. Cole is just not a superstar.
What makes somebody a superstar? What?
I think that this total package, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves.
I think that's changed a lot in this time, though.
But this is, all right, understand what I'm saying to you. That's why we're still holding on to Biggie and Pac.
Why you say that?
Because Biggie was fly.
Yeah.
Pac was fly.
Yeah.
The way they walk, everything about, when Biggie walked in the room, star walked in. Right. When Pac walked in the room, if J. Cole walk in here right now, the way J. Cole dressed and the way he looked, J. Cole is in here. Not saying you're going to be like, okay, but it's no allure to him. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so added personality and things of that nature.
The personality, the interview skills, all of that. J. Cole is dope. J. Cole is dope. I don't want nobody to think that I'm not saying he's not a good artist.
You might get killed for that.
I don't care.
You know, they love J. Cole.
But as far as being a superstar, when the person walk in the room and the room illuminates, only certain people like Nas and Tupac and Biggie. I don't even think Jay-Z got that right now. Now walk around with that wig on his head or whatever he got. Because all that plays into it. When you a superstar, people want to be like you. People want to dress like you. Jay-Z once had dudes wearing button-ups.
Nah, so Jay-Z is a superstar then. Because he's controlled the narrative
though,
of this whole
But he
whole
had,
culture.
Though. Ain't nobody walking around with no wig on now.
A lot of young kids got what he got on his head.
I think
he got the basket.
Nah, to me, I ain't going front. I'm going to give that to Jimmy Butler, the basketball player. He was the first person I seen with that.
A couple years ago, he was
And then Rich Homie Quan was the first.
The person I'm going to really give that to is The Weeknd.
Okay.
The Weeknd had a wild. No, you talking about the Jay-Z. I'm talking about the nappy fro with the sides faded. That's Jimmy Butler, man.
Yeah,
the first person I seen. I was like, yo, what's up with dude here?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, what Jay-Z got going on, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
But Jay-Z still can tell the narrative, bro, because people still walk around with Rock Nation hats and hoodies and still drink whatever Jay-Z drinks. Like, Jay-Z still controls.
Yeah, do say.
I'm sorry, Jay-Z still controls the culture, bro.
Yeah,
he's still controlling.
I'm just.
If I want to sign a Roc Nation, take a picture on the gold couch, like
because they
he
cause
still
they,
has that narrative still.
Because they, because they munches. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, everybody want to be next to. But what I'm saying is, when Biggie walked in that room, I'm telling y'all, I was around him when he walked in that room. His size, he was 6'3", like 300. He emanated greatness. When Pac walked in that room, when you seen him, it was just like, yo, the room was like, yo, it is a when Little Kim walk in the room,
yeah,
it's a superstar. When Nicki walk in the room, it's a superstar in the room. When Kendrick walk in the room, you don't get that vibe.
I don't know.
Is that because of his persona, though?
That's the I'm talking
but
about.
But I'm not saying just because I feel like just because somebody's laid back, that doesn't make them not a superstar. Because I don't feel that way. I personally don't feel that way. We've been in rooms where, you know, certain people have walked in, you know, but you can feel that energy. You know what I'm saying? The first time I felt like we met ASAP Ferg, you know, through Dapper Dan. Yo, I felt Ferg's energy, and Ferg is a laid-back dude.
But Ferg be fly, though.
Oh, so you saying, okay.
It's the total package. Ferg be fly.
Yeah, but...
Yo, fly is so perspective to me now because
all right,
when
look,
you look at Kendrick and you look at J. Cole.
J. Like, Cole ain't fly. Man.
Nah, but they be putting them in certain magazines. Like, people be... I don't know. People be having... I don't think he's fly.
You seen what J. Cole had on in one of the magazines?
Yeah, one of them.
Come
crazy.
On. That's a superstar? Listen. What he had on in that magazine, that white outfit or beige or whatever. That's your hip-hop superstar? Yeah.
No, bro.
That's not a star.
Yo, people, yo, shit is different now, bro.
Nah, bro.
Hip-hop is so mainstream it has such a broad audience. Different. It's hard for me to say who's a star and who's not.
Well, all right, this is what I'm saying. People think that I'm saying star is relative to the music. That's only a part of it. I'm saying a star is somebody who, when they walk in a room, you like, yo, such and such is here.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson was able to just stand there.
Prince.
And people, like people faint. Do you get that vibe
Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston.
Do you get that vibe from J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar? You don't. You don't get that vibe. Anybody who say they get that.
I don't know. I ain't never meet them, so I can't say it. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm just saying.
But I can see where
it doesn't even emanate off the TV, though.
Nah, I fuck with Kendrick, though.
Listen, when you see... All right, I like J. Cole's music out of the two. Even Drake. Drake, you get that vibe of, dude is a star.
Yeah, I've met Drake, yeah, definitely.
Kanye, star, Common. It's certain people that their presence, you in the presence of greatness.
Yeah.
Off the TV, off the videos, everything about them. But I don't get that from Kendrick and J. Cole.
Okay.
So this is why we're still holding on to Biggie and Tupac, because they had something that was the blueprint of what everybody's trying to emulate now, and it's been 20 years. So I'm like, how could we
got
to be able to replace them after a while.
I mean, these guys have been again.
You can't replace the
blueprint.
About 10
years.
How do you replace the blueprint?
Well, we're going to be really honest, like Big Daddy Kane and Kool G Rap and Rakim, that's the blueprint.
Right.
But they've been replaced.
You wouldn't have Jay and Nas and all these other guys.
But they've been replaced. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it wasn't even 20 years later
that
Biggie and Tupac replaced them. It was only a couple, because Rakim was still active.
Yeah,
right.
When around that time. So this is the point I'm making. How are we going to get new stars?
We're never going to get that because the audience is so broad now. I feel like the people that were listening to hip-hop in the climate of the streets, you understand what I'm saying? It's much different. You have regular people that can appeal now to regular people who will in turn turn them into stars or superstars. You understand what I'm saying? So because rap came off the streets, you understand what I'm saying? And it embodied hustlers and things of that nature, you had those type of people, the cool people who's always behind other cool dudes who was rapping. But now you got the square dude, you got a dude like Lil Tecca. You understand what I'm saying?
Who on earth is that?
It's a young dude who signed a very big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And he's about 16, 17 years old. And he's talking all types of stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's not saying that he's gangster. He even said that he didn't say it. I mean, he's not these things. But you have a whole nerd culture that brought him to the top. And he's seen as a superstar or going towards a superstar. That's just what rap is now, hip-hop.
I get what you're saying because they might try to say, but he's doing festivals with 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's not doing it by himself, though.
Right.
It's a festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays, most of these artists.
Yeah. You know what I know, right? From dealing with the back end of booking artists and trying to get them to do venues, a lot of these artists, they can't do it by themselves. Nope. You got to pair them. But Drake could do it by himself. Jay-Z could do it by himself.
Yeah, that's the conversation me and my brother always have. Touring is always going to define.
And I think to a certain extent, J. Cole could do it by himself.
Absolutely. No,
Kendrick could do it by himself. Absolutely. But they still ain't superstars. I don't care what nobody say. They're stars, but they're not
superstars, bro.
This is I'm talking about superstars where you just like, yo, J. Cole got a crazy fan base. I respect it. Kendrick too. Now I respect it. I respect their fan base. I respect their fans. So when y'all watching this, whatever.
You know what's crazy?
And they're not superstars.
Though. I might have told it to my brother, but I know I had it in my mind to tell him that. Is that Middle Child's my favorite record right now?
Favorite album?
No, favorite record.
Record, yeah.
Okay.
By J. Cole. It's my favorite record. Yeah, something about it, I just rock with more than everything.
Mm.
So. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. And I would have to probably be experienced to kind of see. But to the masses, they're superstars, man.
I think it's gas, though, man. I think I'm going to say the gas. I think it's not that they're not dope. But, nah, I'm going to chill.
Let's go to something else.
I'm going to move on to the,
yeah.
I guess make a quick segue to the Atlanta top 50.
Who did this list? This is.
I just seen Gucci repost it, so I don't know who exactly. I can't say who did it, but everybody was kind of going off of this list.
All right, now let me ask you another thing with these lists. What is the criteria for the list?
I think you should actually be from Atlanta, like Waka said. Like, if you're someone who migrated to or relocated to Atlanta, then I don't think you qualify.
That's almost all of Atlanta, though.
Yeah, but what if you've been living there 10, 15, 20 years? That doesn't qualify you to say you. Repping that place. Because if I do that, then I mean Michael Jordan from Brooklyn, right? Like,
facts.
If we start playing, I think...
Facts. Aaliyah from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think it's okay to...
Relocate?
Yeah, relocate and rep. So if you've been there 10 plus years, I think that's kind of
your 10 ain't enough.
I was about to say 10 ain't enough.
I think it got to be a dub.
I thought 20 years? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then probably most guys, people. Yeah,
so who does the top five on the Atlanta list?
Andre 3000.
Uh-huh.
T.I., CeeLo Green, Ludacris, and Killer Mike.
Lyrically?
I don't know if this is lyrical. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Because what is the criteria for these lists? Because there's no future?
Well, I guess we got to do it like sports where you just everything, a combination of just, I guess, impact.
Now, Future's on it.
So Killer Mike is before Future?
I mean, what are we talking about? Like you said, is it lyrically?
I don't care what we talking about.
Yeah, he's done a lot more impact on Future's the Atlanta 15 culture. On this
list. Yo,
yeah,
Future?
Yeah.
Who made that list?
My dude, Future is the Atlanta Drake. Future is the man Beyonce. Like Future controls the narrative. When he drop, he controls I'm good, love, and joy. Like his anything he do is big. So
I
how
fuck with Future.
Yeah, so how we put
in. Well, he said you'd rather cry in a Honda or whatever than a Rolls Royce or one of them cars. Yeah, he controls narrative in Atlanta, definitely.
Future is a superstar.
He told us.
Who would you have top five in Atlanta?
I like Saha the Prince.
I like him too. I like Saha the Prince.
Is he a superstar?
Too.
No. Is he even a star? No. But he's dope.
I think he has star energy. He has a lot more work to do.
He got a lot more work to do. I don't think
I
we
like his energy.
You know he's so much of a rebel.
No, what it is with Saha, we didn't see him enough.
Right.
We heard him, but we don't see him. A lot of these artists fall short when they don't do visuals, or they do visuals, and then they give them the World Star, and they think we're all supposed to watch it because we all watch World Star, and many of us don't.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying? So I like Saha the Prince. Ludacris, you know what's funny about Ludacris? I always look at him as being from Chicago.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Ludacris to me, and people going to get mad at me, Ludacris to me was always a fake red man. Always.
I see where you're going.
It was the same thing.
I see where you're going.
Yeah,
but
I see.
He's dope.
Yeah.
I rock with Ludacris.
Ludacris is a superstar.
Definitely a superstar.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
he's made a good impact on Atlanta.
But it was always in the vein of Redman. In the Eric Sermon interview, remember when it comes out, they're going to see how I talk to him about that same thing. But Ludacris is a superstar. I don't want to take anything away from him. But I always look at him in Chicago for some reason. I mean, we have people like Atlanta, because when you start thinking of Atlanta, Atlanta's a small place, and you got like Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what about like Georgia? Because you got people like Pastor Troy that's just rap.
Yeah,
like you got dudes that could spit.
Mm-hmm. But why is Andre 3000 first? He was part of a group. He wasn't an individual.
He could rap his ass. Yeah.
No, his not definitely. But I think rap. He should be a part of probably group more so than.
I mean, but how could you have Andre and not have Big Boy though? So Killer Mike is before Big Boy.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
The impact of that Outkast alone.
Yo, should a Gucci have been top five?
Nah, Gucci. If we gonna talk about where's Jeezy?
Jeezy was right before Future on that list. So like 15.
So Killer Mike, all right. Crazy. I don't want nobody to think I don't like Killer Mike. Killer Mike is before Jeezy, Future,
I think another phone call about to happen.
And Guap?
Yeah.
Come on,
Gucci
man
is the godfather, probably. Gucci, they could take the king.
Yeah.
But he got to be the godfather of Atlanta, as far as when we talk about this scene and impact.
Gucci?
And the culture.
Gucci? Nah, yeah, Gucci.
That ain't.
Quick Gucci. Question with the Atlanta thing. Did y'all see what Walker said in regards to, you know, just the list and things of that nature, and him being like at the forefront of, you know, the transitional momentum for Atlanta? Do y'all agree with, you know, Walker's standpoint on that?
I understand what Walker is saying, because when the 1017 thing was going out, the Brick Squad 1017 thing has happened. Remember, Gucci kept going to jail.
Yes.
Gucci was at the highlight of his career. He kept going to jail. And remember, it was a squad of them. It was Waka, it was Gucci, it was OJ the Juice Man,
Frenchie,
Slim Duncan. It was a couple of them. Woo the Kid. It was a few of them. And when Waka dropped that record, I messed my money. I don't want to curse. I messed my money.
When that record dropped,
my CEO. I was like, even though they do it, I was like, nah. Yeah, Waka held it down for that Atlanta.
Yeah,
that was big, because we even forgetting about Little John, man.
Yeah,
Little John's impact on Atlanta was crazy. The production alone, and I like the kids in the Young Bloods too. They was dope too.
They
could rap. Yeah, they could rap. But Waka, going back to Waka, Waka definitely brought an energy. It was almost like a rock star mosh pit.
Energy
that he brought.
Yeah,
to that it was like. Wasn't crunk, it wasn't trap, it was like rock star.
Honestly, and not to cut you off, but I felt like Waka brought that, not to make the comparison, but I felt like the 6ix9ine type of energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I felt like he brought that rock star type of EDM kind of feel, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely agree with Waka, honestly. I rock with Waka heavy, you know?
Nah, I like Waka. And you know,
even the ad-libs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ad-libs, Waka was one of the first, you know, to do all of those ad-libs on the record.
But how Migos ain't on that list, too?
Migos on that list. They were just much lower.
So Killer Mike is before Migos?
Yo, you have to leave Killer Mike.
I'm just saying, though.
Just leave it alone, bro.
Before Takeoff?
No, Takeoff is on that list, but yeah, he down there.
But Killer Mike is before Takeoff?
Yo, bro.
Who made that list?
Yeah,
Killer Mike made that list. He had to.
Yeah, I don't know, bro.
Give me one Killer Mike song.
I don't know one. I'm not even going to lie to you.
And it's funny, I rock with him, but I can't really remember one that like
sticks
out.
Come on, then, man.
Connected with.
Come on, man. We can't name one of your songs. You can't be top five.
But we not from that.
Yeah, I'm not from Atlanta. So I don't think I'm qualified to talk about it.
But we know everybody else's songs, though.
That's true.
We know Sahada Prince songs.
I've heard
a couple of his last projects.
So we qualify. It ain't nothing personal. I'm just saying the list is, he made that list.
Nah, but I definitely want to say salute to Waka, because just how he moved. in general. Like, yo, he I love this grown man. Yeah, he's Waka, stand up Waka, to me a
Waka,
lot.
Waka grown man yeah. to me right now is the thing about Waka that I rock with is that I never seen him really out of pocket. I've always seen him solid. Like his interviews. I'm like, yo, this dude's smart.
He's always growing.
Yeah, and his him being his. Being ambiguous to things, like he just know when to say, yo, I don't care, or when it don't matter.
I remember.
And even when he don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely remember in an interview where I believe he said the reason why he left hip hop was just because he felt like he didn't want to continue as far as with the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So when you're paying $4,000 or $5,000 per outfit to go on stage, he didn't feel like that was needed. And I felt like that was real, you know what I mean? And a lot of these artists, man, they just living this facade life. And that's why even in what he said in the video, like, I don't care about that. You know, there's more things to life to care about. So that's why people like that I could respect who show how they just evolve. And they will just stay in just one pocket to try to live their life and prove things to other people. And salute to his mom as well, because she's definitely changed even the culture in Atlanta as well.
I think when I first respected Waka, when Method Man called him Whack. Mm. And he said, yo, you the OG. If I'm Whack, pull me to the side and school me and help me. I was like, ooh.
Yes, that's the best angle to take.
Yeah, that was that Eminem 8 Mile right there. Like he came off with that one, because at the end of the day, we are very, very critical. Everybody's very critical, but everybody's not qualified to be critical.
Yeah,
right. So even in this video, you're gonna have people say what they say, but what qualifies you to speak? You know, we got the qualify episode coming out soon.
Definitely.
But my qualification always comes from not really in the point of criticism. It's more of a building, like, yo, I can tell you why I don't like something about you. I just ain't going to be like, yo, I just don't like you. And it's because that's hate. But if I could say, yo, I don't like you because, yo, you had your hat on, yo, and it make the side of your head sweat, yo, that look crazy. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like how sometimes it's just excessive. And I want to stay on this, but I want to segue into social media. YouTube has become social media now. It's not just a platform to put your music on or your videos on. It's become social media. They have a community tab where you could post in the stories now. They also have a tab where you could post just regular posts. It's a lot of people who come on there and they just feel like they just thumbs down your video. You got an hour-long video and it's like 2 minutes in the video and they thumbs down. What I don't get is this. If you don't like me, fine. Don't watch my video. Don't watch 4 seconds of it and thumbs down it. Don't thumbs down it off the title. Don't do it. But if that's what you want to do, fine. I'm not telling you to thumbs down or do whatever you want to do. But just know, if you come on my channel talking crazy, I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to block you. I'm going to block you because I'm going to put you out of your misery. I'm going to help you, right? You have a problem with disliking somebody and you spend more time with the people you dislike more than the people you like. You have some type of mental health issues. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to help you and block you so you don't have to concentrate on your dislike for me. And that goes back to social media.
Yeah.
When do you block somebody on social media? Because I'm telling you, me, I'm going to keep it real with you. On social media, you got like 2 crazy comments. I'm getting you out of here. You can say, listen, you can say what you want. Sometimes I might erase your comment because you might not be malicious, but it starts a windfall of people thinking they could play with you like that or say certain things. So I get that comment out of here. But every video you got something to say, every post you got something to say negative, yo, I'm getting you out of here. When do you block somebody on social media?
Damn, you want me to be honest?
Honest.
Well, the last person I blocked was a chick.
Chicks always get blocked. Okay. They out of here.
So, as far as with that, it depends. But as far as like with comments and stuff, I don't really let it get to me like that, honestly. Like, I'll go back and forth maybe 1 or 2 comments every single time. Or I'll just like it and just laugh and keep it moving. I don't really block people like that because then they feel like it's personal.
You say I'm a sucker?
Nah.
What are we doing here? Like, who's talking to you?
I just don't
bro?
Block. The reason why I blocked that chick, I won't speak about. But yeah. As far as what you're talking about, no, I don't block that. You know, they can say whatever they want because I know the energy's not going to be the same in person.
But I'm never going to listen. But my thing is, I'm never going to see you in person. I don't want to see you in person. You are looking at me. I'm not looking at you. I don't know you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on McDonald's every day to the same McDonald's on Fulton and Flatbush and say, I hate this food. This food suck. Dislike, dislike, dislike. I hate this food.
You know what's funny?
It's mental health.
We was actually speaking about that earlier. I don't understand, like, if you don't rock with something, you just don't entertain it. If you don't, like, if just don't engage in it. Like, you can, the fact that I think sometimes we always feel the need to, like, give our opposition is what I have an issue
with.
That's
the point.
Like, that's really what I have an issue with. Like, I don't think on that frequency. So, for me, it's like, for the most part, if I see someone, maybe it takes 5 times. I don't have a number, honestly. But I just don't like, if you don't rock with something, just leave it alone.
That's the only way I view it. That's when I got to Dikembe Mutombo you. Because at the end of it all, this is to anybody out there. You don't always have to have an opinion. Sometimes you could just not, I don't care.
That's it.
So a lot of times, people, me being in the position that I'm in, a voice, you know, people say, what you think about how you feel? I didn't even think about it. Even as you're saying it to me, it's shower water. It hit my back and just went down the drain. I don't care. You know, but yeah. I think we have to chime in on everything. I don't care. I just don't care.
The reality of it is people are always going to find things that they disagree with. And so they just quickly, it could be the first 2 minutes. They didn't even let you explain a minute.
Because one of the title of this videos is going to be J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar not superstars.
Oh, you crazy.
And I always want to see because I just don't think they are. I think I pleaded my case. But if you disagree with me, fine. I have no issue with that.
Yeah. Right.
But when you start calling me names and all that, what is that for? I didn't call them no names. I didn't call J. Cole or Kendrick names. I didn't. I just said I don't think they're superstars. They are stars. They're incredible artists, but they're not superstars to me. When do you block somebody?
I rarely block people. I don't ever want people to feel like they got to me enough or I care enough about them to block them, that I don't need to see them. Like, I'm not that emotional. I'm not that invested into.
See how they call me a bitch on the low?
You know what I do? I mute people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have mad people muted on Instagram. So if I never watch your IG stories, nigga, you muted. Like, yeah. I don't see you. You don't pop up. Sometimes I mute people. I take them off my TL. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Facebook. Like, but I block, like, yo, you had to do some serious shit. Once again, like Mo just said, like, he had to block a shorty. I had to block a shorty recently, too. But, you know, that was on a different type of time. Yeah. I had to block her. But blocking, I don't know, bro.
Yo, like, all right. I'm a keep it a bean with y'all. 1,000. All my ex shorties get blocked.
I want
y'all out of here. I don't rock with you no more. X mean unknown. X is the Bronx, all that, but X is unknown. all y'all get blocked. Because I don't like you no more. We ain't cool.
Even if y'all didn't end on a good note, I mean on a bad note.
We ended.
But I'm saying, that don't mean it's always on the back.
Yo, it's
though,
never
bro.
It's never no hug, all right?
I'm not saying that. Just like, yo, you go your way, I go my way. Like, it is what it is. Do your thing, I do mine.
Nah, they all got to go.
Nah.
You know why? Because at the end of it all, when you have a life like I had, my life was full of a lot of struggle.
Right.
A lot of women that I dealt with seen the struggle, seen the hard times.
Yeah.
And didn't respect
the grind.
The come up.
Yeah. You have every right then.
Nah, you out of here.
You're right.
Look, you can't see me smile.
You're right.
You can't see me 184 pounds. You can't see that.
I think all of those is the reason why they should want to see you.
But I don't want no hey big heads. I don't want none of that.
You left. You wasn't there for
you.
That.
You out of here.
You're right. I agree with that.
You out of here. I don't even want you to be able to rock with me in no way.
I respect that.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like it's some people, you know, and there's some females that I'm gonna be real with y'all. People say what they want about me. I don't consider nothing under me being like 27 a real relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I was dating. I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. But past a certain age, real life kicked in. Once you start paying bills and stuff like that and you got real, real responsibility and, you know, you got thousands of dollars of bills a month.
Yeah.
this is real life here.
No, I get it.
So anybody who didn't believe or who didn't rock early on,
my nigga, nah. I would have no followers and I'd be following nobody. Because I feel like
I'm talking about who I was piping. I ain't talking about yeah. I ain't talking. Yeah, because listen.
Oh, you talking about that level? Like you have a personal relationship.
But listen, my G, I blocked the whole neighborhood where I used to live. Mm-hmm. I blocked everybody. Nobody from that whole neighborhood is. I don't even want them to see what I'm doing.
That's crazy.
I don't like none of y'all.
I respect that.
I don't like none of y'all. You know why? Because the energy when I was around, it wasn't where it needed to be. The energy was bad.
Yeah.
And I felt like, yo, any day I come outside, I'm going to prison. When I'm around that, nah, I don't even want y'all to see me doing good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because even when you in situations and nobody vouch for me. Nobody say, yo, nah, that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Nobody's like, yo, nah, he putting on for the hood, this, that. You know what? Fuck all y'all. Fuck everybody. So if you from Atlantic Terminals, listen, if you from Atlantic Terminals and you can see my posts, I rock with you. Other than that, fuck out of here. Fuck all y'all. Block the whole hood. You know what I'm saying? Because people was hating. And one thing about me, I've never, ever, ever, ever been. I never been no hater. I never been. I always, come on. Yo, come on.
Yeah, facts.
I had a radio show, DTF. Yo, come on. Calm down. Yo, yeah. You ain't got a schedule. Just pull up.
Yeah.
So for me to be all inclusive and just spread love always since I came in this, when I don't feel that love, I don't do fake love.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing well and you try to show me love, it's fake. I don't do fake love good. Some people could do fake love. Some people could say, yeah, look how, you know, he fronting now. He's nah. My G, I know how you feel about me. I know you only really rock with me because I'm at this level. One day you might try to stick a knife through my windpipe slow.
Because
if I fall off, you're going to go back to disliking me. So I'm not giving you the opportunity to rock with me. All my exes... Yo, y'all out of here. I don't rock with none of y'all. We not cool. We ain't nothing. We ain't cordial. Y'all all could just get hit by a Mack truck for all I care. You know what I'm saying? For real, I don't rock with none of y'all. We not cool. That. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to be the dude. Like, I'm not a boomerang.
Yeah.
You throw me away, I don't come back.
Yeah, nah.
So anybody who spit on me, kicked me when I was down, I don't rock with you no more. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I don't think about you.
Yeah.
And one of the ways not to think about somebody is not see them, not be reminded of them, and not have them play with you. Because a person will look at your story and never, ever, it's like almost keeping tabs on you.
Yeah.
But they won't engage you. They won't even say good job. They won't even say, yo, I respect what you're doing or salute or congratulations. It's almost just like to keep tabs on you. Nah, don't keep no tabs on me. Watch your kids, bitch.
I'm gonna be honest with you. If you make me really, really think, it won't be good for a lot of people.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm not even gonna go there.
Yo, anybody, listen, this goes to the audience. Anybody, I'm not saying who didn't believe in you, because sometimes people don't believe in you. It's hard to get people to see through your eyes, through your vision. When you get up in the morning, brush your teeth, you see your face. But anybody who see or saw the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into making things happen, and they was telling you, you ain't never gonna be this, or that ain't gonna be that. When you get that, what they told you you couldn't never get, they don't even deserve to see it.
Nah, you're right.
I don't even want you to see it. Because I don't want you to hit me and say, congratulations, because you don't mean it. You just told me, like, yo, I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. I had this girl I was dealing with. Her mom's, I was 19 years old. I'm still a kid. Her mom's told me, yo, you don't got a future. I'm like, saying to myself, what the fuck is this bitch talking about? I don't got no future. I don't have no future. I was a dropout. I didn't go to school. She was an educator. So instead of her saying to me, you know what, to secure your future, to do things for your future, you need an education. She was just like, yo, you don't got no future. And I'm like, why you say that? Because you don't go to school. You didn't go to school. You don't have no future. I'm like, damn. So I'm saying to myself, I should punch her in her fucking face. I really thought that. Like, yo, because you don't, I'm still a kid and you're a mother. You're not being motherly to me. I didn't have a mother. you just kind of shit on me, and I'm busting your daughter ass every other night in the other room. Yeah. So how you talking to me like that? Fast forward it now. How my future look? You understand what I'm saying? But she didn't educate me as an educator and as a mother. She just kind of like discarded me. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, you a bum. And I wasn't even, I was wilding at 19, but they never saw it. Like, I've always been the yes, ma'am, you know, thank you, ma'am, take my hat off type of person. I've never been a knucklehead in the eyes of my elders, mm-hmm. ever. Nobody's mother ever heard me curse, none of that, or how I carried myself. But it's just like, yo, the way you just threw me away, discarded me. When I was 19, I was going through a lot, like in the streets. My homeboy just got killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot going on in my life, and she knew that. So just for her to say, yo, you don't got no future because you ain't going to school. Like,
yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? So I'll never fuck with that lady.
Yeah, I mean,
I saw her. I was about to say her name. Mm-hmm. I saw her coming down the street one day. I just crossed the street. Because I didn't want to say hi. I didn't want to be fake. That's the type of dude I am. I don't like to be fake with people. I don't know how to be fake. Many people, this chick said to me that I blocked, that I interviewed before, but I ended up blocked her. She said to me, and if she see this, she might know I'm talking about her. She said to me before, you don't know how to play the game. And I'm like, yo, who playing? That's the problem now. Y'all playing with people's life. This whole industry has become a game of, I'm going to extract him today and put him in a position. I'm going to watch him struggle. He's going to kill himself. He's going to go to jail, or he's going to kill somebody. He's going to self-destruct. I know I can save his life. I know I can help him, but I'm not. I'm going to help him over here because I can control him. And then they start playing with people's lives. You understand what I'm saying? So when somebody say to me, you're not playing the game, I'm not playing. That's the thing. I do my job. Whenever somebody does their job, they deserve to be rewarded for doing their job. If you don't like my job, fine. But I'm not playing the game. So the point that I'm making overall is that when you look at what's going on in society, I've always liked to reward people for good work. I say, yo, I see you. Yo, damn, you busting your ass. Yo, come over here. Yeah. I got something for you. Yo, I need to interview you. Half of these people who I interview, it's just off of love. There's no money in it. It's nothing in it for me. It's all, yo, I love what you did. Yo, come on, come up. Come up to the spot. Come down to the office. Do such and such in the third. So when people say to me, yo, you're not playing the game, what's the game? I'm not, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to play the game because the game is playing with people's life. You know what I'm saying? If you're an artist, if you are a DJ, if you are a graphic artist or whatever you are, how would you feel if somebody say to you the cup was in the way too? How would you feel if somebody say, yo, I ain't rock with you because you ain't playing the game? Do you not like my art? When does that matter?
Well, we live in a time now where people are sheep and they just move based upon how other people tell them to move. So It's kind of a tough battle, to be honest with you.
Yo, let me give you another one, right? It's a dude that I did a free interview for. Free interview, showed him love. I don't know him from nowhere. Somebody said, yo, because you interviewed my man. All right, cool. Come down to the office. Did an interview, put it out. I seen him take a picture with a dude from YouTube who publicly disrespected me. Now, my thing is, okay, I'm a side picker. I don't straddle the fence.
He not your mans though,
and that's why I would never rock with you. That's why I never rock with you. So when you texting me, yo, call me. Call you for what? I'm not rocking with you. One strike, you out with me, because people are mindful of what they're doing.
I think only if somebody fuck with you, they supposed to pick a side. If I don't fuck with you, I'm neutral.
So don't tell me to pick. So when I put up my post on Instagram, because I put it on Instagram, mm-hmm. if I see you publicly rocking with somebody who disrespected me before, I'm not rocking with you.
I could rock with somebody on a business level. I just know I have no intentions on being personal with you.
But we didn't do no business. That's the point. I gave you a free 99 interview. Come on, you know what I'm getting.
Right.
I did it on the arm.
Right.
That dude probably charged you But I did it on the arm. You know what I'm saying? There is no money exchange.
Wait, so
with
what
us.
You're saying is that they should not have did the interview with that person?
Do what you do. But if that's your man, then that's your man. I'm not. I can't be your man. Because you supposed to told me, yo, you supposed to told me, yo, I got up with such and such and I jigged them for you. Cause that's how I am.
No, I mean I get where you're coming from, but that would have to, he have to look at himself like your man in order to move that way though.
But you got my number, bro.
He got his number too.
No, he thought you think you my man enough where when after you saw the post, you was like, give me a call, text me, yo, I need to holler at you. Mm-hmm. So you knew.
Oh, okay.
You knew you fucked up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he right hit after you the post, over that post.
Right after the post, he hit me.
Oh, okay.
Yo, hit me.
Okay.
Hit these nuts. I ain't get out of here. Cause my thing is this. I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like I said, I pick sides. I don't straddle the fence. I do not straddle the fence. Yo, look, that's my man. You disrespect my man, I ain't never rocking with you on no level. I don't want to do no business with you. I don't want to get money, nothing. You disrespect mine, you disrespected me. That's just how it is. And
okay.
If you apologize to that individual, cool. Y'all have hashed it out, cool. But I do not play, I ain't no spy. I don't play both sides.
Nah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like those situations, you know, it predominantly makes sense in a circumstance where somebody has made it clear that they're your mans, you know what I'm saying? And they've been moving as such, you know? Obviously, he was unsure, you know what I'm saying? If you have to hit a nigga after you see that post, something about you is unsure about where you stand with that person.
Guess where he's staying now? He's staying on the outside because I'm never rocking with you. I'm never rocking with you again, ever in life. And that's cool because, listen, when these dudes go on YouTube now and be disrespectful, they blatant, bold, they get a bunch of views. Everybody look at it.
Yeah.
If somebody disrespect one of y'all, he done with me. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to defend you off the rip. Yo, hold up. I know you're not talking about my people.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people watch people disrespect you and say, yo, he just shitted on you.
Yeah.
They text you, yo, look, they calling you dumb in the comments. Yo, look. Look at the comments. Yo, they disrespecting you.
And these be people that I done gave them so much homework to do themselves.
Do you not understand? I can't fuck with you no more. And I was trying not to curse, but I got to let some out. I can't never rock with you no more because rule number one, you hold your team down. And if I'm not a part of your team, lose my number. Don't rock with me because we don't do no business. If you're a shorty, I'm definitely not smashing.
Yeah.
And if you're a homie, I don't drink or smoke with you because I don't drink. So if you got my number, smoke or drink. If you got my number personally, then obviously we had some type of rapport.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is, I had a homeboy where it was a dude disrespecting me on YouTube, and he was going to do an interview with him. And he said, yo, bro, if you don't want me to do an interview, I ain't gonna do it. You family first. But he want me to do an interview. You know what I said? Nah, do your promo.
Yeah.
It's just that when I catch homie, you know, it is what it is. When I catch homie, I deal with what I gotta deal with. But I respected him for saying to me, yo, it's home team first. He hit me to do an interview. I won't even.
I mean, that's obviously someone you have a relationship with, though.
Yes,
not,
and no.
Not a dude that I met on a first time basis, and I expect him to, you know, to hold up certain levels of
protocol. Let me tell you how personal I am, because I believe in being personal because I'm transparent.
Right.
If we follow each other on social media, because it take a lot to people to hit that follow button.
Yeah.
People just won't hit. It's
man,
people.
I know.
Listen, it's people who I've done a lot for who don't even follow me, who kind of act like they don't even know me,
same
right?
Here. Yeah.
So people we follow each other. I like your posts. I share your posts.
I comment.
Mm-hmm. I got a lot of respect for you. You know what I'm saying? And I respect you. The minute I see you rocking with an op, I'm telling you, because I don't trust you no more. Like, I seen a post yesterday. I had to block this account. Because it's a, listen, let me tell you something. It's an old picture with me, Biggie, and them on my corner. A lot of people use that, and they tag me in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen some of these accounts, and it's not Telon Blanco sent you. Shout out to him. That's that's the homie. It's other accounts similar to that that be putting up stuff, and they like free this person and all that. I'm like, nah, you a op. I gotta get you out of here. I just gotta block you. Or you rock, yo. I'm telling you, suckers stick together because they rock with this other sucker I'm talking about.
All right.
Yeah.
Yo, suckers stick together, but the real always oppose each other. And the suckers are band together. Like, yo, we all suckers. We might as well just all band together. But the real be opposing one another.
You and think so?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that.
I could go.
I feel like I could go deep. I feel like it's the same way. If you real, like, you always gonna come across, or you always gonna.
But I still feel like it's divided, though.
Real is divided, bro.
Yeah, you do come across, but I feel like it's still separated.
It's too ego or macho.
Yeah,
I was about to say that.
It's too ego or macho because when you think about when it's real, I want to be the realest in this room. And if you say he real, but he ain't real as me.
Yeah.
But sucker ain't gonna say I'm more of a sucker than him. It's just like, yo, we all suckers. We control the narrative. Mm-hmm. Yo, we block people blessings. Let's do it.
Do y'all really believe people can block other people's blessings?
I only believe that you can stall it. I don't believe you can block it. Okay. What's meant for you will be meant for you. I did a whole episode on blackballing. I don't believe blackballing exists. I think stalling exists. You can't get blackballed in this day and time because it's
in this industry. You don't feel like they can block you completely out?
No.
I feel like it is.
All right, look, let me go on record. Make sure I'm just sweating. Let me go on record, right? If I could identify the individual who's stopping me from feeding myself, mm-hmm. my family, and creating generational wealth, I'd do something to them. This is a fact. I'm not going to say,
I respect that.
Sometimes it may not be directly towards you, but it might be towards... like a type of people. So main,
You're right, because YouTube is doing that.
Yeah, may not certain be demographic. You personally. Right. It might be a certain type of people where they just
have a certain
putting you in that bracket, and y'all just gonna do what y'all do over there. Y'all not coming into this other side of the gate. And I think that does happen.
You know what? Forgive me on this next segment right here, because I'm about to, before we close out, but I'm about to get really, really crazy.
Yeah.
Forbes DVD. We were blocked by a lot of people because of World Star's popularity. The kid from World Star, the email was worldstar23@gmail.com, right? He used to tell people, if you rock with Forbes, we'll never post your videos. If you rock with them or rock with us. I respected it because he looked at me as it is what it is.
Yeah.
I didn't respect the dudes that I thought was cool with me to say, yo, I can't rock with you because World Star don't like you. I was like, so you're standing in my presence as a man telling me that an email don't like me? You don't even know who they are.
Right.
Then Q from World Star surfaced and he started, you know, becoming prevalent of, I own World Star. So everybody like, Q my man. I'm like, it used to bug me out because I'm like, yo, but they put up a video of dudes punching you in your head. They put up a video of talking about your wife. They put it, and that's your man.
Mm-hmm.
But you telling me you can't rock with me. I never even did anything wrong to you.
Right.
So that just always kind of tripped me out. In that instance, we was blocked. And to this day, Forbes DVD always had a shadow over it based off of World Star. So that's why when like Q died and people was like, yo, man, that's messed up. I was like, tch. It's somebody who directly that I can say was a part of blocking my life, blocking my blessings. Yeah. So I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, but I definitely think it happens within the industry. I think certain people don't allow another group of certain people to get in and paint a narrative. It's definitely controlled.
I think it's controlled in the sense of they pick their delegates to control the masses.
Yeah.
Like, you're the figurehead for them.
Yeah, they have the puppets.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, they run it with the puppets.
Yeah, like.
But I do think there is an attack on a particular type of narrative because it doesn't go with how they're making their money.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. And the audience in which that they're attacking. So
for example, you know, I'm not reckless enough. I've grown to be tame. I'm not crazy as I used to be. I used to be a little, you know, wild on Twitter, personality.
Yeah.
I've grown because I'm a man. I was a man then, but come on, man. It's certain things that you say out of your mouth that starts a firestorm of other things outside of this. we are the only people that don't have the luxury of talking about somebody without it being some type of physical repercussion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A sportscaster, Stephen A. Smith, could say, Kevin Durant stunk yesterday, and he's not going to get shot.
Yeah.
If I say, yo, I don't like his record, yo, it sucks, when we walk out of here, somebody like, yo, what you said about, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've grown to just be mature, plus seeing other knuckleheads throw it all away. I'm like, oh, nah, I work too hard for this, to be sitting in this seat to throw it all away. So I become a little bit more responsible. Still tell my truth, still feel my truth. But where we're at right now is the audience. Audience wants reckless. Audience want, yo, they want you going in. Audience want you trashing
somebody.
They
want you to risk it all.
Yeah. And when you look at the views on YouTube and everything, it's all people who have no filter, no pun intended, and tearing somebody down.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I got to tear people down to build myself up, and I just don't have an opinion on everything. I don't feel like I have the right opinion on everything. It's too much going on in the world and too much going on in my personal world for me to say. And yesterday, the horses stampede. And how y'all letting, you know, it's the Illuminati that got the horse. And when people be clicking stuff like that, I be like, yo, this is crazy. But I say, you know what? I'm going to weather the storm with my content because content is king. That's flash in the pan stuff. I know, and it's deeper than that because I know what I'm doing always. That's why if y'all see I put up, I'm testing the climate. Things about to get real interesting because I am a study. I study the algorithm. I study words. I study phrases. I study everything. And I know what the people want, but then I also know what the people need. And sometimes you could give them what they want, but then you also got to give them what they need. And I feel like people are not giving them what they need. They're giving them what they want. And they're giving them a dirty glass of water and say, drink it, because that's all they think they have.
Yeah.
And certain people have been pushed to the forefront with that dirty water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Certain people have been pushed to the forefront with the dirty water. I'm telling you. And it's something that's going on that I know that I, you know, not because I've got some inside information, but I just go off of vibes and I go off of energy. And I say, yo, I know, I've been here 13 years. This is not new for me.
Mm-hmm.
I done weathered so many storms. I seen somebody come on the channel the other day. Somebody, you got 152,000 subscribers and there's so many views. Yo, you finessing, saying that I bought subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who know me know I don't play no fakeness, none. Nice. And so, and YouTube, my subscribers are stuck at 152,000 exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been subscribing, but it hasn't gone up.
Wow.
So something is wrong with
this. A lot going on.
Yeah, this is what I'm telling. Yo, it's a lot of games.
They do that on the other social medias as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of things, because I've seen the emails of my subscribers going up, but it's still 152,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something is going on, but we got to get up out of here. Until next time, I'm Doggy Diamonds. You can follow me, Doggy Diamonds. Make sure, shop.doggydiamondstv.com. Get your No Filter mug. Get your No Filter t-shirt. Join the No Filter gang. I got a lot coming out. Pardon me on the delay of a lot of videos, but we was having not a technical issue in a bad way. It just, we had to fix some things. But we here, and this is my call, is introduce yourself to the people.
Eternal_Moja.
The real King Ether.
Yeah, they are the good bad guys along with me. So with that, I'm Doggy Diamonds. Doggy Diamonds TV is the YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, and also make sure you hit the bell so you get all the notifications when I go live or when I upload a new video. I'm out of here. Peace. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Did this.